Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Kind of like it became a mental torture of sense because you're with yourself for so long and you're kind of in this sensory deprivation tank. But your sensory deprivation tank is not dark. It's full of jellyfish.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.
Hello and welcome to the Koi Gig podcast. Kathleen McNamee here with you to reflect on what was another excellent night in Páirc Uí Chaoimh for the gals in green. Seems we should potentially have all our matches there because it's very fruitful for the team in general. Joining me to look back on that game and also to look ahead to a potential, dare I say it, automatic qualification to Brazil on Tuesday is Karen Duggan and Scarlett Heron. And a very nice welcome back to Emma Carroll, who was actually in Páirc Uí Chaoimh on Friday night and watching all the action unfold. Emma, welcome back Hello. To the podcast.
Thanks for having me. How's things?
What was the atmosphere like? I mean, obviously you could tell it through the screen watching it that it was a brilliant evening, but what was it like in Páirc Uí Chaoimh despite the dire weather?
Amazing, incredible. I don't think I've actually felt anything like that for a women's game. It was like we had some great nights in Tala, but yeah, it was a special night. Yeah,
I know, Karen. Like you've done
getting wet, so
yeah, Karen. Like you've done comms and stuff down in and like punditry down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh before. I've always really loved the atmosphere down there. Like it's a nice ground. It's in a nice part of the city. There's things you can kind of hang around a little bit outside before you go into the match. And obviously then we've also had great results down there when we have been there.
Yeah, the walk in and everything is lovely. It kind of builds an atmosphere, which is great because the stadium, like it is too big really. And it is a soccer match on a GAA stadium and the pitch is farther away from the crowd. Like I've always been a bigger supporter of packing out Tala, but the fact that we're getting these results down in Cork, I might have to change my tune. I'd love if there was an in-between kind of size that again the girls would make their own, but look, all that mattered was the result. And like you just doing your intro there and talking about potential automatic qualification, like it's gas. It's absolutely gas.
It is funny. And we have to give Scarlett her flowers because she was the person that has kept the faith alive on the podcast. Not only the last day we recorded before the Netherlands game, but before that even. She's always our person for a positive result. And I think me and you were being a bit more like realistic, I suppose, at the time as what we expected. But Scarlett, you're the one that's smiling now.
Yeah, to be fair, me being optimistic was still saying we'd draw. I don't think any of us expected them to actually go and win and to beat them in the style we did. So, I mean, as I will take the credit with great flowers, I don't think any of us would have expected what happened on Friday night. I think like it's probably definitely one of the best performances that I've seen from the girls in the last few years. And like, oh, it was just what a night. Like Emma, I was so jealous of you being there. Like the atmosphere, even though it was piss and rain, there was such a great crowd. And I know it would be nice if we can get a stadium that probably fits the Irish women's team's needs better than the likes of Tala or the Aviva if we had like a nice middle ground. But I think the luck that Cork gives us, I agree with you, Kathleen, I think we should play there all the time now.
I had a lot of very smug Cork people in my DMs just being like, see, this is just what we do for the country. And I'm like, do you know what, lads? If you get us to Brazil next year.
Fair.
No. Totally fine. I will take it. I thought it was interesting watching the game, Scarlett, because one player that like you in particular have mentioned a lot over the last couple of windows as someone who could be really important was Abby Larkin. And obviously she turned out to be crucial in many different ways on Friday night. What sort of, if we are, I hate asking these questions because I feel like we're already jinxing ourselves for like next year, but obviously she's already been to a World Cup, she's already had that experience, she's already had the experience of going through the qualifying stages, but like what sort of maturity have you seen come with her over the last 2 or 3 years since we were last in Australia?
Yeah, like I think an awful lot. Like even look at, I think she's on like 35 caps or something now, which is unbelievable for a girl who's just 21. Like, it's insane. And I think that has come from, the likes of Vera taking chances on her. And, taking her to the World Cup was a chance. Like, it was a risk. And she did feature a lot. And I think she did impress. And we have seen her come in and out of the team recently. And I think we haven't really seen the sparks at times that we've seen on Friday night, but I think that was just the performance that has really now put her on a pedestal. I think, like, Emily Murphy coming out gave her that opportunity, and we spoke about that the other day when we were previewing the game. This gives other girls an opportunity to put their hand up, and like, Carla's gonna have a massive headache now choosing this team for Tuesday night, because like, do you drop Abby after that amazing performance? But you also need Emily back in, and Caruso as well getting the goal. So it's really, really difficult. And it's what you want as a manager, but it'll also be a massive pain. But I think for me, like, it was just having seen like Abby play up close, like obviously played it for at Rovers before she went away. Like, I think it just seeing it up close, seeing the talent she did have, like, it kind of knowing she always had it in her, and we've seen it against Belgium, and then we've seen a very similar finish on Friday night as well. So I think just massive credit to her to step up in that moment, because that was a big game. And obviously for a young player, it's kind of, you'll either shy away from the challenge or relish it. And to be fair to her, she took it with both hands, so credit to her.
Yeah, Karen, like it's almost like I found myself forgetting that we didn't have Denise and Emily on the pitch the other night because the team actually did do so well. And I think, if we had had the two of them going into the game, we probably would have said we had more of a chance. But then we didn't have them and we managed this epic win. So like what do you do if you're Carla Ward going into the French game? As Scarlett said there, she has some headaches to make when it comes to decisions.
It's a very, very difficult one, but we can't gloss over the fact that they have been our two standout performers
Oh,
for
100%.
the rest of the campaign. Denise slots straight back in. I still think, I think Caruso's goal in the first half was so crucial because if we're being very honest, and I'm happy enough to have the green tinted glasses on for this whole podcast, but if we're being very honest, that first half, we were getting peppered a little bit.
Yeah.
They had nine shots, although not on target. So like our spacing and stuff was good. But we found it hard to retain possession a little bit. Caruso was very crucial in terms of winning some frees and getting throws. And same with Abby. I think that's the biggest change I've seen in Abby is the selflessness that she put into that performance, as well as the quality, because we knew she had the quality, but there's a lot of selfless work that comes with being a striker in that formation, and I think she did it really well. I think Emily Murphy has kind of set the standard for that now because we've seen how aggressively she plays, how her engine is, and that's a great thing. And obviously Shiva's huge to that system as well. I saw the stat today; she's covered over 12K and her high speed runs, like that is very impressive. And sometimes we're used to seeing those stats when it was like Heather Payne up front just chasing shadows, whereas
Yeah.
now we're actually playing and putting in that work, and it's really, really enjoyable from a fan perspective. It really gets you like riled up seeing the effort that the girls are putting in. Unfortunately, I think as soon as Carla, well, I don't know if it's unfortunate, Carla Ward found something that worked and hasn't deviated from it unless it was enforced, like the two suspensions. So I think she'll go back to Emily and Denise, and then she's not afraid to utilize her bench. So Jessu will get a lot of minutes. Abby Larkin will get a lot of minutes. Like she
What a
won't be
performance
afraid
by
to take
Jessu, by
Caruso off
the
at halftime. Jessu, but we could move on to her now because
way. She was next on my list of things that
all
we had to
in.
discuss. So
Like,
thank you, Scarlett, for the transition.
no worries.
yes.
Well,
Who wants to go
so
first? Talk about
yeah, I was
Jess.
like, who wants to raise their hand and talk about Jessu and the performance? Like, I think even the fact that Carla said after the game that like it was very much planned the way that she was brought into the match, and the fact that she knows what she wants her to do, and she knows how she wants her to play Scarlett is so good. Because as we said when we recorded this pod before Netherlands, we all said that we wanted to see more of Jessu, and we wanted to see more of the sort of excitement that she brings to the pitch.
Yeah, and I think it was the natural sort of entrance into the game. Like, we knew if Ruscha started, she'd probably only play 45, so that was obviously premeditated. Get the most out of the game as you can out of Ruscha for 45, and then bring in fresh legs. And wow, like, she completely changed the game just when she came on. I just think going forward, defending. Like she was all over, she was all over the pitch, and just the little flicks, the delicacy with everything she does, and just the ability to hold on to the ball. I think it's something that we were missing probably with Emily Murphy, is, you know, being able to get out of tight areas and bring the ball up the pitch. And she kind of brought us that in that second half. And in a game which was, you know, the Dutch are very technical, like she was probably by far in the second half the most technical player on the pitch, including the Dutch. So I just think it was a really inspiring performance from a player who we obviously hasn't got great minutes in the last while. Like, I think before this game, her last minutes for club or country was the Poland game, which was in April. So a player who hasn't seen a lot of minutes, and we spoke about how she needed to be managed. But like, oh my God, did she make an impact with the minutes she got? And I'm really excited to see her now on Tuesday as well, because I think the more she'll grow into this team, the better she'll get. And that's only the start for her. So,
and I think as soon as, yeah, I think as soon as she has that fitness, that question of the centre mid always being the one position that we've seen change over the last number of matches and campaigns, there's always a question around it. I think that stops. I think she slots in there because she's got the game intelligence that she can play any position. So hopefully we can just keep her fit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Emma, did you feel like a palpable difference down in Parkyqueeve whenever Jessie was brought on?
You could feel it when she got on the ball. The crowd just erupted like it was. Yeah, the atmosphere was incredible. And when, yeah, she really brought like that little flick as well by the touchline in between the Dutch player's legs, which the clip is doing the rounds as well. Yeah, like every time she got on the ball, the crowd, the excitement in the crowd, and you just hope that she can stay fit. Like, we've been probably excited about Jessie for years now, and she obviously had those unfortunate injuries. So if she can stay fit, like, yeah, Jessie, Abby Larkin are two of the players that we've been excited about for so long, and now they seem to be stepping up. So hopefully they stay fit and we can get more of them.
Yeah. Well, then it does kind of, it lends itself to that question that we've been asking constantly about this Carla Ward side, in that she seems to have really figured out what she wants from the team in general. She's figured out the style of play that she wants. Yes, it is frustrating sometimes, like Karen, you were saying the last time out, that maybe these games are technically bonus territory. Maybe we should get to see, you know, a few more of the
I'm talking
players.
Rubbish. We're going all the way. Automatic.
We're going to win the World Cup.
Karen's like, yeah, no, Kathy, I don't remember recording that.
I'm totally happy to be a hypocrite here.
But like, what are our expectations now going into Friday, or into the France game? Like, yes, automatic World Cup qualification is there in front of us. We have our two best players back. Like, should we be getting overly excited? Like, yes, of course we could. This is the Koi Gig podcast. We're going to think that. But like, what are our expectations going into Tuesday? You're all just staring at me now, being like, we don't want to answer this.
Don't be putting a damper on it. Let us sit in this for a little bit.
Okay, well, you can go back and you can sit in the game if you want. But
no, now you're making me put on my realism hat. Like, every World Cup, every Euros, we look at the French squad and we say, if they can get it right, they're contenders. Yeah. So we're talking about a team that are spoken about as contenders for a World Cup, not as contenders for qualification. Or automatic qualification. They certainly don't want to have to play an extra game. They want to, you know, make a marker and continue to be in that conversation. So having not been as convincing as I think they expected to be in this group, I would be surprised if we could pull off the unthinkable away from home. But then again, we're very good at these kind of free hits. Like, I think we looked at the Netherlands game as a free hit. It is bonus territory. So that's the one thing I've noticed. And it, like, we were talking about having a bit of strength and depth there. I still don't think it's any better of a panel than what we had for the Euro qualification. There's a lot of retirements there. But I think they're playing with a lot more freedom and confidence. I felt like sometimes under previous like management, previous World Cup, they felt like they played like they were a little bit burdened, like afraid to make mistakes and stuff. I think there's a lightness a little bit more about them, because we're not reinventing the wheel tactics wise. Yeah. Working very, very hard, closing down spaces, playing counter attacking football, all great, and we've certainly seen some progression tactically, but I mean, it's not groundbreaking stuff. But I do think there's a palpable buzz, and I think it comes from the freedom that they're playing with.
Yeah, Scarlett, like that is one of the interesting things that we've seen with Carla Ward, in that, you know, she first came in, she tried some things, it went horrendously wrong. But she hasn't, all along, she has been quite open about that. Like, she hasn't been afraid to admit when she's made mistakes or times when things haven't gone exactly right for the team. But when you look at the squad, and as Karen's saying, the style of play now, it is very different to what we've seen from Ireland teams in the past.
100%. And I think the thing that stood out to me most on Friday night was, you know, the Netherlands equalised, Pavlova takes one down, really, really composed finish, and everyone's shoulders drop, everyone heads go down. It's like, oh, like we're 10 minutes away. And the immediate Irish reaction would be, let's lock up shop, let's shut down, let's backs against the wall for the next 10 minutes, let's get the draw. In fairness to Carla Ward, she brings on Saoirse Noonan. I'm going, is she going three up top here? What's the plan here? And then we start playing a 3-4-3 with 10 minutes to go, and obviously ends up getting the goal. I thought it was such a positive change, and something that, like, you just wouldn't see from an Irish manager in the men or women's game when you're playing against a top team like the Dutch. And I was just so impressed by it, to be honest, because I think we're just so used to banking up if something like that happens, to cling on to the draw. And I think to go for the win in the fashion they did, and to put more bodies up top, and like putting Amber on the left was like a revelation. Even when she did score, you know, taking the ball up and getting into the corner, brilliant. Like, and I think that's just something that we haven't seen from any Irish manager, men or women's, in the last few years. So I was really excited by that, to be honest. And I think that was just really a really positive step in how much she does believe in that team. And then for the girls as well to implement it, and to, you know, say, right, let's go for it. Like, let's have that belief. And just another thing on France, like, I know obviously they are probably world beaters, but they haven't actually been in the best form either. Like, they've drawn and lost to the Netherlands, and then in their last group they lost a few games as well in the last Nations League. So it's not like they're in like unbelievable form. I think if we catch them on an off day, we could have a chance. I'm not saying we're going to win the game, but I think with the form and the momentum that we're carrying into the game, I think the girls will definitely put it up to them. So I think it'll be really, really exciting.
Yeah, just on that positive move, like I said it on the radio yesterday, but just to show the shift that a mindset can have, like I know it's a million years ago, when I was playing, the biggest result or the most we ever celebrated after a game was a nil-all draw with Holland. And with 10, 15 minutes to go, there was absolutely no way we were going to go for it. We were clinging on for dear life and so happy to get a draw. So, like, that's huge. I think that's, like, that's the context of the progression here and the ambition that is now in an Ireland team, which has been needed for a long time.
Why? Ground at that moment as well, it was, everybody's, she's putting on Saoirse Noonan, she's taking off Megan Connolly. Like, this is very attacking, like, we're going for here. Like, there was a kind of a moment in the ground where people kind of looked at each other and was like, is this, are we really doing this? Okay, we're doing this. And then the crowd kind of got buzzed again. So it's unbelievable.
What do you think it is about Carla Ward that's been able to unlock that in an Irish side? In that, you know, it's probably the sort of football that we've been looking for ages, in that we've been asking for more attacking football, more convincing football. But she seems to have got everyone very much on board with her mission for this team, which, obviously, get to the World Cup, that's like top of it. But every time we do this podcast on an international window, I feel like game after game, especially this year, we've kind of seen some sort of difference in the side, or we've seen some sort of movement towards something, a different way of playing, a different way of existing in the football space. Like, is Carla Ward just like a really good manager and really good at what she does, or is there something
more? I think there's a team there. I think it's more than just the manager. I think there's a lot of backroom staff there. And when you have that many personalities, you can really match them up with different personalities on a team. So someone always has someone to go to, or someone would be able to recognize who needs the carrot, who needs the stick, and stuff like that, because you just have more one-on-one time just with the depth of the management team and the medical team and stuff like that. So as they say, it takes a village. It takes a village, but whatever they're doing, keep it ticking now.
Doing it.
Yeah, keep it going all the way to Brazil next summer. Scarlett, you've obviously said that, like, you know, you were so impressed by that change from Carla Ward towards the end of the match where we did go, like, more attacking. But was there anything else as well that stuck out to you from the game that you enjoyed?
Well, I think, you know, the way we set up is we knew how that's who we were going to set up. And I was listening to the Dutch manager before the game. You know, they were prepared to play against the low block, but I think we really, really frustrated them. Like, you'd see, like, Bernstein had a really difficult night, just couldn't really get on the ball. And they really struggled to create any clear goal scoring opportunities apart from the goals. Like, even, I think, to be fair, even if Aoife Mania didn't take out, who, I don't know who it was in the box, but even if we didn't give away the penalty, I'd say that would have been a goal too. But apart from the two goals they actually did get, like, I don't know if Courtney, she obviously made two great saves, but apart from that, I think they really struggle. Like, they're long shots as well. Like, it's not even that they're getting inside our area. So I think we really frustrated them. I think we slowed the game down when we needed to. It was really good game management. And then obviously when we needed a goal, we pushed on. So I think it was a really mature performance. And, like, to score three goals against that Dutch side, three different scores, really, really impressive. And I think as well, the reaction to the first goal, the reaction by the whole team, I think it was probably the best move of the night for Abby Larkin's goal. Just little triangles around the pitch, bopping it around the Dutch. And then obviously Abby has a really tough job to do to get across that front post, but she picks up a great area, gets across Janssen, who's probably still celebrating her penalty, and, you know, is able to get anything on it, because that's all you need in those moments is any little touch. And just fires a pass cop. So I think the setup, our game management, and then our reaction to the goals as well, really, really positive. So yeah, really, really positive performance overall.
And so then going into the French game, obviously Emily and Denise are coming back, and as Karen said at the start of the podcast, you know, you can't ignore the fact that they were two of our best players in the last, like, couple of games. But apart from that, how much of you are you changing, or how much are you trying to keep similar? Obviously, the attitude is a very obvious one, but besides that,
I think Karen has it spot on. I don't think she'll change what we were doing before this. I think Emily and Denise will come back in. I think that's just the way it is. It's, you know, the momentum we have had in the group so far has been built around those two players in a way. So they've had standard campaigns. So I think for them to lose their positions would be harsh, but as well, it's going to be harsh for the girls who came on and made a difference. But I think everyone in that team, like, speak about Carla and, you know, what she has done with that team. Yes, it is a lot down to the players, but I think everyone knows their roles too. And even though some players mightn't like their roles too much, if, you know, you're coming on as a cameo, and obviously there's girls that probably haven't seen the pitch in a while, but everyone does know their job. And I think Carla makes that very clear. And, like, for the likes of Amber Barrett, who probably has been frustrated by minutes, you know, even, like, looking at her post-match after the game was great. Like, she's just so passionate about being Irish, and she just loves playing for Ireland so much. But even her saying, I know myself, I just need one chance. And, you know, sometimes it falls me, sometimes it doesn't. But I think it's that mentality to know, okay, I'm going to come on here. It might only be for 20, 10, 5 minutes, but I'm going to make a difference, and I know my role when I go on. And I think that's something that is really, really positive. And I think it'll be the same now on Tuesday night. Everyone will go in with the same mentality, with the same belief. And yeah, try replicate the results again.
Yeah, Emma, I was kind of reflecting when I was listening to Amber Barrett's comments there, as Scarlett said, about that night in Hampden and the Scotland game, and chatting to her afterwards. And I think we talked about it quite a lot. But, like, Amber is a great talker. You get her for a post-match interview, you ask her one question and you have about 15 minutes of content. But she always has had that, like, absolute faith and belief that no matter what her role is in this team, no matter how many minutes she plays, that she will turn up and she will get that crucial moment. And I think she said it to Carla afterwards as well, like, I told you I was going to do this. And I feel she said something very, very similar after the Scotland match as well.
Yeah, even just during the week she said it as well, when she was out as one of the players that was up before the media last Tuesday or Wednesday. speaking about that super sub tag. And as you're saying, players don't necessarily want that tag, but, you know, she'll do something about it if she has it. And yeah, sure. Yeah, her and her big toe goes and does it again. And it was even before that, she had got a couple of chances. She made stuff happen before that goal as well. There was one very similar run through to the goal in Scotland where you were taught, if she got the shot off, maybe there's a chance. But I think it ended up going out for a corner in the end. But yeah, you need to have her in there now at this stage. She really is stepping up and, again, another fan favourite, another cult hero, Amber Barrett.
I'm pretty sure we had a conversation on Off the Ball and we were talking about statues that they should have outside of the Aviva, and I think Amber's big toe was one of the leading contenders, even from people that were texting in. So
I did have to remind some of the lads on Friday night because somebody put into the work group Troy Parrott with the line knocked out and Amber Barrett, and I was like, actually Barrett came first. Barrett's big toe came first before Parrott, so she's the OG.
That's my title for this podcast, sorted. Barish came first. Okay, so we're going to the World Cup is what we have established over the course of this podcast. Jessu and Abby Larkin are going to get us there alongside Amber Barrett's big toe. But as much as I don't want to ask this question, it is time for your actual expectations of what the scoreline is going to be on Tuesday. Karen, I will give you the mic first.
Oh, you do want to make me start off on a bad note.
Because I want to end on a good note, so I'm going to go to start.
Okay, yes,
last.
That does make sense. Part of me wants to say we could get a draw, and that would be a massive moral victory.
She's really jaded her tune.
That's huge from Karen. Yeah.
Part of me, it's a small part. The other part is saying that France will want to finish on a high and that they'll probably pull away at the end like they did because of the strength of depth that they had. So I think there'll only be a goal in it. I think we'll continue on our scoring streak, which is brand new. So maybe a 2-1 France.
Emma, you're up next.
But with momentum going into the qualifier after another good
like
performance.
In all fairness, if we were to, even if we were to like lose against France, and like hopefully it's not a massive loss, but if you had told us before this qualification period started that this is where we'd be at this stage, we would have been like, freaking hallelujah, this is amazing. We had absolutely no expectation of it. So, you know, we're in bonus territory, as you said, Karen, to a certain extent already, but like, it's just the fact that the little carrot is there of potentially on Tuesday night, we could just qualify for a World Cup next year and not even have to think about a playoff. But sorry, Emma, I interrupted. I gave you more time to think.
Fine, I'll just do a Richie Hogan and say, don't do predictions. Well, it's probably going to, I'm hoping, a draw, but 2-1, you would take it. But at the same time, I think maybe the shackles are just off and there's no pressure and all the pressure's on the French. Or maybe we can make that seem like the story anyway, that the French are under so much pressure.
Well, that is the other thing. Like,
England aren't guaranteed automatic qualification. Maybe true. The French won't be either. So, you know, you start putting the pressure on these big teams and there's no pressure on us. So,
yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I was watching the reaction of like all the English journalists and fans the other day to the fact that they're not guaranteed World Cup qualification and it's like the world is falling down on their shoulders. And
they forgot that Spain were in their group.
Yeah. But and like just the general panic that there is there. And I'm like, if we could try and get a bit of that into the French side, maybe it wouldn't serve us all that badly over the next couple of days, you know. Netherlands are probably feeling it a bit as well. I mean, if they had won against us the other night, that would have been them automatically qualified. They've had a very up and down couple of games. Same with the French side. So, yeah, I do think it is a weird situation to be in where it does feel like even though we could automatically qualify, I don't feel the same sort of pressure as a fan as I have in previous times to actually expect a result, but we'll see how it goes. Scarlett.
It's the most enjoyment we've had, like consistent enjoyment, because even those first couple of games that we didn't win, we felt massively positive coming out of them. Like, been a while. Well, since we've had a positive
Probably
calm
the last
time.
time we qualified for a World Cup, so maybe that's just the
There was still a lot going
sure.
on then in the
Yeah, no, there was
background.
still a lot of
That
angst, but
was
I
a
just
bit
mean in
heavy,
terms of
so
Just
enjoy
pressure at the
it.
end of that group as well. That Finland game was massive in Tallinn. That put us into that playoff as well. So there was more pressure, whereas we don't have pressure now. The playoff is in the bag. So yeah, go win the group.
Why not?
Imagine. Why not?
I know I'm working like a 4 to 12 shift on Tuesday night, and I was like, do I put like a little something in the fridge for afterwards just in case we like it gets to midnight and I can like salute myself. Scarlett, you have the final word.
Well, I think in the great words of Amber Barrett, it's a cup final. It's all or nothing for both teams. I think the French will have massive pressure on them. I've been reading little bits on French Twitter. They're not very happy with their manager at the minute, Laurent Bonnadie or something like that. So there is going to
Are
be
they
tension
ever?
there.
Are they ever?
No, but you know what? Let's get carried away, because we got carried away at the men's, and it's always the hope that kills you. So I'd rather die by hope than live with none. So I'm gonna say 2-1 Ireland, and we're going straight to Brazil. And no need for these silly playoffs in October, December. And if I'm right, y'all owe me a drink.
With pleasure.
Fair deal.
Scarlett, if we get to Brazil on that, then 100% we will have a
Perfect.
full Koigig night out. I will invite the entire podcast there, everyone who listens.
Pina coladas on the Coca Cabana. Yeah, no bother.
Yes, exactly. It'll be a one-way ticket to Brazil for all four of us. I mean, Karen, you're kind of already in the colors, to be fair, now to
I'm
anyone
just
who's
getting in the
listening,
zone.
Karen. Yeah.
Carnival. Let's go.
I love it so much. You're giving me too many great headlines for this podcast. Guys, it's been a pleasure, as always. The Quaking Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. Emma, there's going to be full comms, I believe, of the game
Full
on Off
live
the
commentary,
Ball.
yep. Yep, Stephen Doyle and Kira Grant will be in France for us, yep.
And full reaction, I assume, afterwards as well, with Ben. I is reporting on it, I assume. Not myself, sadly, but maybe someone will kindly send me over to Grenoble in the next like 24 to 36 hours and I will have a fun time. Guys, I hope that when we come back on Wednesday to talk about this, it is in a good zone.
Hungover.
Hungover, yes. I mean, let's just go live at midnight if we win.
Please. TikTok live.
But yeah, let's live in the hope for the little bit of time that we have left and see what happens over the next couple of days. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We will be back with you very, very soon. Hopefully in good spirits, but if not, we will be here regardless. So thanks for listening.
The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.